We're very privileged to have here today with us a few people who have been growing in the business and have taken steps to success. I'd like to ask them to briefly introduce themselves and tell us who they are, where they come from, and what they do.
My name is Pierre van Rensburg, all the way from Centurion, and I work for a big IT company.
My name is Christy van der Westhuizen. I live in Addo, and I work and train horses.
Fantastic. Thank you. Over this weekend, we've learned a lot of different things, but our role now is to give you a few nuts and bolts, bits and pieces that will hopefully make the difference in helping you to take your steps as you go in the business. So we're first going to look at what we need to do in order to become the kind of people we want that others will want to follow. So I'm going to ask one or two questions around that area, and if you would just share some thoughts with me around that. Later on, we're going to have a look at those five basic steps that come out of the Own Your Life plan, the action steps that we need to do. So the first action steps are growing ourselves, and then the second action steps are growing our business. What habits do you believe are necessary to become the kind of person that others would want to follow?
I think the most important one for me is attitude. We know the saying that attitude determines your altitude, but at the end of the day, attitude is something that other people can relate to. An attitude will either attract people to you or to push people away from you. So I think attitude is one of the most important habits. And then the other habit that is very important for me is to really love people. To love people with all your heart. And I try myself to see the good in every person that comes my way. And some people are not always good. But I can tell you now, if you really look deeply, you will always find something in a person that is good, and you will also find something in a person that you will be able to connect to. And again, if you connect to people, you attract people to yourself. So I would say those two things are really key for me.
Okay, I'm just going to share on that one myself. I think one of the things that I've learned is that one needs to be disciplined. And I think we've seen that in terms of the session that Pierre did on the goals. You've got to have that goal sheet up, but it's the other things that around discipline that are important. The exercise, the morning quiet times. My diary is planned right from the morning in terms of waking up, the thought processes that I need to go through, my quiet time, my exercise, my food, et cetera, et cetera. So those disciplines, I believe, are important. And I've now just recently, for those of you who are techno alert, I've put on a Habit Streak app, and there's various habits that I've put on there to track myself so that I can see how I'm doing in terms of the habits that I want to develop. Because sometimes you think you're doing it, but then when you track it, you realize that you haven't done it. And so for me, that has been really important. Let's move on a little bit further in terms of action steps. What kind of things do you do with regards to personal growth? Would you like to share?
I was actually reading the Bible this morning, and one of the verses that came up, I should remember how it goes, but it says, they talk about fools. And they say, do not be like a dog that goes back and eats its vomit. So a fool carries on making mistakes. And the reason I say this is, before we came here, we sat down with our team, me and Karen, and we actually asked them, you know, who of you are doing personal development? Who of you are reading a book? And myself, I couldn't put up my hand. You know, I read every now and again, but I don't do it every single day. I asked them, who of you guys do your self-talk, not every now and again, 3, 4 times, 5 times a day, and not one of us could put our hands up. And the reason I'm saying is, you know, five diamond directors, big people, tell us, do your self-talk, do your personal development, and we think, yes, we're only just beginning, why should we do something that's so small? But yet big people are top there telling us we must do this. I mean, I think Zach or Andrew asked Hansi Krenia, if you could go back, what would you do more? And he said personal development. And it's just, I was wondering why we don't do that if the people that have already reached the goals where we want to be are doing so.
I think I want to hook onto what Chrissy said. I think one of the reasons why we don't do that is coming back to planning again. We allow other things to start filling our life. And, you know, it's okay. I didn't do my self-talk now. I will do it now. And now becomes tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes the next week. And I don't know if you know it, but the word in Japanese for tomorrow is the same as never. So we need to be careful in procrastination, pushing things out, and just do it now. Not wait for anything, do it now. So self-talk is so important. I've got a self-talk in my Bible, and I've got a self-talk in my diary. I've got a self-talk on my PC. It's so important. Listening to CDs, there's always CDs in my car. that I listen to, and I always read books. And what is nice about the technology these days, you don't need to carry a book around with you. It's on my cell phone. If there's 5 minutes waiting in between a meeting, I can just open my cell phone and just read the books there. So it's fantastic. But we need to feed the mind. We feed our tummies much, much more than we feed our minds. And at the end of the day, our minds are more and more important than our tummies.
I've taken to heart something Charlie, I think, said to us at the last year's leadership. He says, buddy, you need to get onto the scrolls, Ogmandino. And so I've been doing that, and I'm nearly finished that particular one. But it's a discipline, because when you're tired at the end of the day, to still read through that scroll, and now I've added the John Maxwell Personal Growth Challenge, and I now have to do my purpose statement twice a day. And I've got to read that at the end of the day together with this. And, and I'm studying a book on vision. So it's a huge amount of discipline that I'm having to exercise, but I'm finding that I'm getting so much out of that from the discipline. And hopefully, as I work with the team, I'm able to share things, because it's so often when you're feeding yourself, a team member asks you a question and you have an answer to give them. And if you're not fed, you can't give. And so for me, those disciplines around personal growth are really important. I'm grateful for the direction that I've been given in terms of getting that one. Do you want to add something, Pierre?
Yes, I would like to add something. I think sometimes we get so overwhelmed with what we hear, what we need to do, that all these things become so much that you're not really sure where you should start and what you should do. And the key is small things consistently. You don't need to do big things. Small things consistently. Your self-talk should be about 30 seconds to 45 seconds. You can do it while you brush your teeth. I don't know. Choose a time. To read a book is 10 minutes. Most of us working spend about an hour to an hour and a half a day in your car. That's time to listen to CDs, phone your team. Small things consistently, but every day. That is the key, not big things.
If you just take that a little step further, if you think of the savings plan that we have in the Eagle team, where it starts with 20 Rand, and I know there's people who've got 80,000 and probably 100,000 Rand in their savings accounts because they started with that little bit. And I think those disciplines around personal growth, it's again those little things that make the difference. The Titanic sank, not because it was completely off course, it was just a little bit out of line. And very often, like a motor car, when you're out of line, your tires wear. If our minds are out of line, we wear in the wrong area, and therefore we're not able to do the kind of things. We're not geared up when we come to the next section of what we're going to be talking about in terms of the steps to building the business. So for me, it's really important, and I don't think I really understood it until after the Acres session that we had last year. And so I'm really grateful that I'm now learning to become more disciplined. I'm not as disciplined as I'd like, but I'm working on it. So I'm getting better, and I'm saying to myself, I'm getting better in my disciplines around those areas. But I think it's time for us to now move onto those basics. And you know, we've been studying the Own Your Life plan for a while, but the five basic steps talk to us about registering, using the products, networking, then recommending and training. And I'm going to just ask the other members of the panel to help me go through the process of the three: register, use, and network. What do you do when you're getting somebody to register? Do you have any particular techniques that you utilize in getting people, you've shown them the plan, they're coming, and getting them to get registered on the business?
When people register, that's just me. I have lists. I have lists for everything. I have a list for my lists. That's how bad I am. No, but really, it just helps me to focus on the right things, as we heard in the previous session. You know, to focus on those things that is important. So when people register, I actually have a checklist that I work through that person, and that actually includes all the basics we're talking now. That remember that the power of this business is duplication. So in the registering process, I'm already starting to duplicate myself. And I have a checklist I give my people, and I give them two. One that they need to follow, and one that they can make a copy for their new people starting. And that's so important. And in that registration process is all the things we do with a kit opening. Question and answers, helping them phone, doing product demonstrations, helping them to fill in their first order forms, etc., etc. I think that's almost a session in itself. But that register process is the most important process, I think, in this whole thing. It can fall flat there. You can get the people excited and moving on swiftly, or it will fall flat there. And you need to spend time and quality time there.
Christy, do you want to share anything there?
I think it's quite straightforward, the five steps, and we all know what they are and stuff. But one thing, like I said yesterday, we start doing is we show the business plan and we get the people doing the business before they've even registered. We get a whole bunch of names to their cell phones and we start calling these people and we arrange to meet up. So even if this person doesn't decide to register, we can still go down and still carry on. And so that's very important as well. So you don't always, you know, you don't start once and then you go through your whole name list and you don't have any more names and no one's registered. So you can keep going on and on. One thing is Charlie that started teaching us now is don't go look for big things. Don't look for your people going to do 300, 400 PV. Look for your 50 PV in this house, your 10 PV here. I mean, he said, you know, if you had gone and just sold a Super 10 LDC to everybody that said no to the business, what would your business be like today? That was a big thing for us.
In addition to what the other members of the panel have shared, when somebody registers, we have a little incentive, and you know, you don't necessarily have to do this, but when they register, we want to get onto that plan of getting them to be a qualified distributor. And a qualified distributor does 100 points. So as an incentive to facilitate that, we add a bottle of Aloe Vera Plus if they make the 100 points in the month of registration. And it's been amazing how many people have said, well, I'll register and I'll get a couple of products. But when they hear that incentive to getting registered, they do their 100 points. And so that's also been helping some of our team members, because we do it as an aid to help them to get the 3 and 30. Because if they're working with people and they're seeing this, they're getting something coming out of it, there's a benefit to building the 3 and 30. And we want to build structure in our business. So that's an important thing for us. Do you want to add something, Christy? Super.
You know, we always look for directors and we try and do big things. But I've seen with Karen, we're just thinking about, maybe we should just break it down. You know, sign someone up, get them to manager. Teach their people to get to manager. Just build managers in your team instead of trying to just build directors. I think it'll go much faster. Just an idea.
Thank you. Let's move on now briefly to making use of the products. And we heard from Alta that it's absolutely crucial that we use our products. And I'd like to hear from you. What do you do to encourage your team to become 100% product users?
Oh, that's easy. You become a 100% product user. People will not follow you if you don't lead. So in my home, I've used all the products except one. I have not touched the feminine herbal complex.
Oh, gee.
but the rest, I've used all of them, okay? This is a fact, and this is something that one of our leaders always told us, and I never believed it, but I see it every single day. The products that you use are going to be 90% of your total organization business. Fact. So if you're only going to use two products, guess what? Your business is going to be made up 90% out of two products. So I try to use everything. Now, I can't afford everything every month. But, you know, fortunately, the Super 10 LDC Care and Soft, they last a lifetime, so that is fine. You buy the big boxes of the Formula 4 and the carotenoids. That lasts you 3-4 months. And every now and again, I will use Acidophilus, and I will use Aloe Vera Gel, and I will use Aloe Vera Plus. You don't need to buy every month, you know, but use all the products. That's the only way you can get your people to use the products.
What happened for us was when we started, I'm a statistics kind of person, and in the beginning, I didn't use the healthcare stuff. I didn't believe in healthcare. I thought it was stupid. I was all right and all the rest of it. But I kept on hearing this message, use your own, use your own, use your own. And eventually when we started to use our own, we'd swapped the NutriShake out of our kit. After I used it, I felt this energy kick in, and suddenly I thought, wow, this is great. And then we ordered a case of NutriShake, and I don't think we've ever not ordered a case of NutriShake when we order. And as we increased our product use, so our business grew. There was a direct correlation to the way we increased our product use to how our business grows. And I think that's really, really important, because if we don't use the product, we don't have a believability that it can work. And we use a few other things. At training, we hand out CDs to people to listen to a CD on the product, and they get excited by that. We get them to be involved in the demos and the tasting of the stuff as well. So those are some simple little practical things that if we expose people to the product, they get to want to do it and use it themselves.
I just want to hook on to what Mark says and just come back to what I said. I don't mean by that you need to go and buy all the products. If you start new fresh in the business, try to get one or two products out of every range at least. Don't get stuck on just cleaning products or just stuck on nutritional products, because as those new people will experience each of those ranges, they will become comfortable in all of the ranges and start using more of those ranges. So try to get your people at least to get one product or two products out of every range. And they need it. They need one nutritional product, and it's a 3 and N, They need the Super 10 and the LDC. They need the aloe vera gel. Lots of people need the GR2. And all of us need the shampoo and a conditioner. So you're actually just replacing what you should have bought in any case next month.
The next step in the business is the networking. And, you know, do you all have a heart? I trust your heart is beating. And we learned some years ago that there's a heartbeat in our business. It's called contact, interview, presentation, follow-up. And if you don't have that happening, there's no life in your business. So we're going to talk for a few minutes around this process of contacting, interviewing, presentations, and follow-up. Pierre, maybe from your side first, and then Christy, you can comment on that a bit later on. What do you do to go about making contact with people? What strategies do you use getting your name list going and so on?
I drink a lot of coffee in restaurants, and I pick up a lot of names there. My team is now so focused on that. You know, we don't walk out of a coffee shop unless we have the waitress' name, and it works. It's just sticking your hand out. Just get over your shyness, get over your fear. Fortunately, I'm traveling a lot these days, so I'm in the fortunate position where I meet a lot of people on the airplanes and in other towns. But it's important to teach your people just to stick out their hand, start talking to people, and get names. And I will just quickly tell you one testimony. I was down in Cape Town last week. I have a new downline starting there, and we had the GNLD Experience meeting in the Crystal Towers Hotel. And she asked me to meet her an hour beforehand in order just to get some information from me. So we sat down in the foyer, and we ordered something to drink. And the lady that was waitressing for us, Olga, a beautiful, beautiful person, and she was sharp, and she, you know, she made jokes with us and so forth. And halfway through, this lady turned to me and said, "Are we going to get the number?" Mm-hmm. I said, "For sure, we got Olga's number, and she did a QI with Olga last night." So, you know, it's just start talking to that person. "Now, Olga, how are you doing? Do you enjoy working here?" And take it from there.
I'm always in the mode of being alert. I think at one of the previous Blooms, I think it was in October last year, I shared about somebody that I saw on the way up through Craddock. They had a car and there was a number on, they had a driving school. Well, Karen and I traveled to Craddock just recently. The lady's keen on getting started in the business. Her life situation is not suitable right at this point in time. But you know, it's just being alert all the time, because I've long time ago used up my family and the friends that I knew. So we're into that creative stage of having to meet new people. And it's wonderful to just engage with people, keep the practice going. It's not about necessarily signing people up, but it's just about practicing talking to people. I'm in training. All the time I'm in training and engaging with people. And I find that is really, really valuable, because sometimes you just click with somebody. And when you click, you can actually do the kind of things that you need to do to take it for the next step. Let's just move on a little bit. Once you've had that contact with somebody, what kind of approaches do you use in terms of showing the plan, you know, the one-on-ones, presentations, and stuff like that? Christy, let's hear from you on this one.
You know, it's different for people you don't know and people you know, I suppose. So, you know, for people that I've just met, they don't even know me, and if I'm some funny person, something like that. So I was listening to the Uganda panel, and they always say, you know, they meet people and then they organize to have a lunch, and they actually just get to know the people, what their wants are, what they want to do with their lives, and they don't even talk about the business. And to me, that's something that we weren't doing as on. That's something that we would like to start doing, is first get to know the person you're actually talking to. I mean, if that person doesn't know who you are, how is he going to trust his dreams to you and sign up? You know, 942 Rand is a lot of money for some people. How's he going to feel about you if he doesn't even know you, you know? So,
do you want to comment, Pierre?
For me, I stick to the basic. Whether I do a one-on-one presentation with somebody I don't know, whether I know them, whether it's in a one-on-one group, or whether it's in a on a board, whiteboard, the presentation is exactly the same. Exactly the same, because it's the only way I can duplicate what I do. I might change a few questions, and I might adopt to my audience, but the structure, the way I do it, the way I close, the way I start, everything is exactly the same. There's no difference in that.
That's fantastic. Christy was commenting earlier on that, you know, when you've shown somebody the plan and you're wanting to build with them, even if they aren't registered, we will often say to them, let us show you how we will start to help you to get going in the business. So they don't have to be registered, because I think it's really important what you were saying there, that, you know, you've had them to a sizzle, you've had them to a presentation, and now you're going to help them. And because very often people don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what they have to do. And if you can show them, and it's been interesting, we were sitting in a coffee shop the other evening with a new downline in one of our other legs, and somebody actually in Kieran's business was talking to me, and I said, let me do a phone call with you. She did the phone call, and this other guy who hadn't wanted to give me any names, he immediately pulled out his phone. He says, can I do one too? Because he saw just how simple it was to make contact. So we use the sizzles, we use the presentations, like you say, Pierre. And then what we're also doing in terms of getting the person started, we use the CDs and the literature as well. Do you make use of scripts when you're making phone calls with people, either for yourself or do you teach scripts?
Yes, I do, because I'm extremely shy. I know you're going to laugh, but I'm really, really shy. And especially if I need to speak the English tale, you know, I have a battle with that. No, I joke. So initially what I did is I put down a script. I use a script that I got out of a training manual of one of the leaders. And I have a script for people I don't know. I have a script for people I do know. I have a script for family and friends. And then I have a script if I phone on behalf of my downlines. And I, as part of the kit opening, I provide my new people with those scripts. Now, they're welcome to change the script whichever way they want and suits them, but that's what I stick to. And my people always know if I do phoning with them or for them, the script is always exactly the same. I never deviate, always the same.
Christy, I know that you and Kieran are traveling the country at the moment working with your teams. You obviously have a different approach to inviting. Would you like to share with us how you, with your young people, are working in that process?
I know when we first get started, we want word for word what we say to people. And like the obvious one is, you know, would you be open to looking at a way of generating extra income over what both you're doing? Which is a great way, you know, but, and that's the way we all start off with. We all memorize those words and we sound like a parrot and we talk to someone. It works sometimes. But, you know, the more and more you do it, you find other ways of reading people and what their wants are. So, you know, you start off that way, but then it's very important for you to carry on practicing. And just no matter who it is, you never know. So for me, we first identify people's needs. And like I say, I let people first approach me. I find out what they want out of life. Like this one girl, she really wants to fly, but she doesn't have the money. So she works as, you know, a secretary in a flying school and stuff. So I said, look, give me a number. I might have something to share with you someday. So I called up one day. I said, look, if I could show you a way for you to create an extra income to pay for flying, would you be open? And she said yes, and she came. So it all depends on the people you talk to and how much you grow as a person to be able to look that person in the eye and not be sorry for you approaching them.
What do you believe are the most important things for a new person to know or do when they get started in the business?
Know or do. They need to know that they have to use the products. They need to start approaching people with you as quickly as possible. You need to approach people with them as quickly as possible. And I try wherever I can, where people are close to me, to do at least 3 to 5 QIs, one-on-ones, presentations, doesn't matter what it is, as quickly with that person as possible. And then I also, that is very important to me, that people need to know how to do a demonstration of the Super 10 and the LDC specifically. That is key for me.
I like I said earlier on, to help people get started and to show them that they can plug in. And I think it's very important also that we get them onto the products. Our time is almost up, so I'd like to ask the panel if they'd like to just share one or two thoughts, just briefly, that you'd like to add that we haven't perhaps asked as questions right now.
Well, I'd like to clarify something. As Charlie so sweetly put it yesterday about the advice he gave me, you see, my dream is quite big. And I think a lot of us have this problem. It's so big that you're not so sure if you can actually ever achieve it. And I'm at that stage now. Just to give you an idea, my dream is to work with horses and pay for them. And our horses aren't cheap. They're very expensive, actually. And just to give you an idea, it's going to cost me about 800,000 rand a year to maintain my horses. And that is a lot of money. And you know, that's something I don't know if I can get at, you know. So if you've got a dream that you're not too sure if you can achieve and you are faced with all your no's and all your problems, those no's are going to outweigh your dream because you don't know, you know, am I really going to get there? So my advice to you, and this is what I kind of started doing, even unintentionally, is I've started to go and live my dream. Even though I'm not achieving it, I'm working horses every day now. I'm training, and that's my passion. So my advice is to you, and you know, that what's actually woken me up is actually quite scary, is that I look at these horses every day, and I'm actually falling more in love with doing what I'm doing, and I'm thinking, yes, what if I actually can't keep this going? And I've given my whole heart to it. What a heartbroken person I'd be if I can't eventually pay for this. So my advice to you is, if your dream is so big, you don't know if you're going to achieve it, go and live your dream. Like, I don't know what your dream is. I don't know what it is. I remember one of your guys' teammates said he would like to own a bank. If that's what you want to do, go become a janitor in a bank. After hours, go pretend like you run the whole bank. I mean, just live your dream, you know, and just see what it feels like to actually have a dream. Maybe the fight of maybe you're never going to achieve this dream will actually kick your ass to go and do what you want to do.
How do I better that? I think very important for me, remember that what you do is on-the-job training. And I always tell my people, be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with this business. Remember that when you start this business, it is as if you are going on a course to graduate. Whether it's a 3-year, a 4-year, 5-year, or 7-year course, you can choose that. The only difference is that you can start making the money after you started with this course, which you can't really do when you start studying. So be patient with yourself. You will not know everything from day one. Learn. And we've mentioned all the ways you can learn. And make mistakes. It's the only way you're going to learn. And then lastly, winners never quit. Quitters never win.
The final and closing thought from my side is, I started off in the business. I was very nervous. And you might look at us, you know, talking up here, but you know, we're in a situation where we're talking now, but we had to grow. So don't worry about getting it right. Just get it going. Thank you to the panel. Thank you very much, and God bless. I've been getting signs from all sorts of people.